And as you are seated, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, we are going to read verses 13 through 35. I do want to let us know what this section is about. This is about recognizing Jesus. And it is very interesting that last week's story about the very first Easter, which was a story of an empty tomb and a lot of bewilderment at the end of the story because Jesus hasn't really shown up yet, is sandwiched with this story of two people that we've never even heard of before who encounter Jesus on the road as they are going to their home from Jerusalem at the end of that first Easter day. And they, too, are bewildered. Then after this story, Jesus finally appears. I believe these two people represent what it means for people ever after the first generation of Christians to recognize Jesus, to experience him as alive. And so in that context, let us read together, beginning with the 13th verse. On that very day, the first Easter day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing Jesus, and Jesus said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking downcast. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here these last days?" And Jesus said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. But some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And Jesus said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. Jesus acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'No, stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened up to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how Jesus was known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the word of the Lord. Once again, will you pray with me? O Lord, our God, we thank you for the truth of your word, for your power, and for your presence in this life and your promise of the next. We thank you for your resurrection power and pray that you would help us, O Lord, simply to see you, to recognize you in this day and in this age. As I said when I began, this is all about recognizing Jesus in our life and in our time. I love this painting from the late 1890s by a German painter named von Uhle. This is a painting of the walk to Emmaus, and you can see both men on the side of Jesus leaned into him, listening to him, conversing with him. This painting for me has been a way of me entering into this passage of scripture and allowing God to speak. Here's what I want to say this morning about recognizing Jesus. We all tend to recognize or see things according to what we are looking for. I finally figured out, by the way, why the original disciples did not recognize Jesus when he came up and was walking with them on the road. They had the first smartphones in world history. Yeah, come on, sure. Let's go. Just kidding. Theologian John Donne tells of a group of Spanish sailors who sailed for the first time into the headwaters of the Amazon after an arduous Atlantic crossing. Their water was almost gone. The Amazon headwaters were so wide that the sailors presumed it to be the ocean still, not a river. It never occurred to them, Donne writes, to taste the water and see that it was fresh because they expected it to be salt. They looked at it according to their expectations. And as a result, some of the sailors died of thirst. Isn't that sad? Yet they were surrounded by fresh water. They floated above and on the largest source of fresh water in the entire world. They couldn't recognize it because they weren't looking for it to be something they needed. This is a metaphor for the resurrection of Jesus. Ever since the very first Easter, Jesus is on the loose. He is God and man, and he is everywhere. God is personally present in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit in every place, all the time. But we don't always recognize him because we see according to what we are looking for, and many don't expect God to be present. It's as though we float above the largest source of truth and grace in the universe, but never drink of it. Jesus is alive. Jesus is now present through the Holy Spirit, which means he's everywhere, no longer limited by time and space. Believers experience Christ today just as much and in just as much reality as before the crucifixion and the resurrection. But how do we recognize him? How do we see him? That's the question. And that's what this story is all about. At first, the two disciples on their way home to Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem, don't recognize Jesus. And why should they recognize him, by the way, apart from smartphones? All they know at that point is the story of the empty tomb. As far as they knew at the time, Jesus' dead body was just missing, even though the angels had said, no, he's alive. But no one had seen him. All they knew was perplexity. They had no expectation that Jesus was alive in a resurrected body, so they didn't recognize him. They didn't see who he really was. Their frame of reference is limited to what they have experienced in the past, so they can't see him when he's right in front of them, walking right next to them. So this is a story, as I said, about how to recognize and how to experience Jesus. And this story gives us a number of ways that this happens. It's very specific, and it's fabulous. First, I want to point out that Jesus recognizes them first. Jesus sees them before they see him. That's why he joins them on the road. Jesus is seeking after them. Jesus takes the initiative to make himself known. Jesus always takes the initiative to make himself known. You may think, and I may think, that we are seeking after Jesus, but before we ever thought to do so, Jesus was seeking us. Jesus knows who we are. He knows who you are. He knows where you are in life. And God is always the one who is taking initiative. And that's very good news indeed. But next, Jesus is recognized while the disciples are moving, while they are in motion, not by waiting around. These two are walking, and Jesus joins them in their journey. And it works that way today too, recognizing Jesus. Jesus meets us and makes himself known in the middle of our lives as we live it, not necessarily as we wait around for him to show up. It's as we go that Jesus walks alongside of us, not As we remove ourselves from the storms, the stresses, and the joys of life, Jesus makes himself known in the midst of all of those. And then Jesus is known in asking questions, but the questions lead to a conversation. First, Jesus asked, "What are you conversing with each other about as you walk along the road?" As if he didn't know. And then when they say, "What's going on back?" Well, you know, we're talking about something. Are you the only one that doesn't know what we're talking about that's been happening? About these things that have happened? And I love Jesus' questions. What things? Jesus is inviting them into a conversation. We often say that the Bible has answers, and it does. But the Bible also poses God's questions to us at every angle and every aspect of our lives. Where are you? Who are you? Who are you? What do you want me to do for you? What's on your heart? These two people were downcast. What do you hear Jesus today through the Holy Spirit asking you, "What's on your heart? I'd like to hear. How you doing? What things?" We get to know Jesus as we let him question us and enter into a conversation with answers and questions of our own. Jesus makes himself known in this conversation, so here's what I say. Let him ask away of you. And then, this is very obvious in the passage, Jesus turns to the Bible and he teaches, and it is all about himself through the Old Testament, from Moses to the very last of the prophets. In this teaching, which probably took about 7 miles, probably took about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. In all of this teaching, Jesus shows in detail how the entire Bible story is really all about Jesus. Jesus is the answer to all of God's questions of us and all our questions of God. Do you remember what Jesus said in the Gospel of John? "You search the scriptures," he said to the religious experts who were questioning him about his identity. "You search the scriptures," he said, "because you think in the scriptures you will find eternal life, yet it is the scriptures which speak of me, but you will not come to me to have eternal life." Let Jesus be and become the center of the Bible as you read it. Look for Jesus on every page. He's there. It's really all about him. It all points to him. It's all fulfilled in him. And apart from Jesus, none of it makes any sense. It's all about him. When we do this, Jesus makes himself known through the written word. And the next one is a surprising one, but no less important. I had never seen this before. Jesus makes himself known through our hospitality that we practice with the world and with each other. These people with Jesus reach Emmaus, and Jesus pretends or acts as though he's going to go on. These two disciples practice hospitality to a person who is basically a stranger by inviting him in for the night. This is what they are supposed to do, according to the culture of the time, by the way. You were never supposed to let a stranger spend the night without shelter. In other words, they let Jesus all the way into their life by inviting him into their home. One time in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said that we would see him, we would recognize him, we would help him when we practice gospel hospitality to the world around us in its need. That we would recognize Jesus in the face of the stranger, in the face of the person in need, in the face of the person hurting, when we let them into our lives. "Inasmuch," Jesus said, "as you have done these things to the least of these, you were really doing it to me." In other words, Jesus gave these two disciples a little test. Would they practice hospitality or would they let him fend for himself? They passed the test. They practiced hospitality to a stranger. We will see Jesus when we bless the world we inhabit through simple, sacrificial sharing of who we are and what we have in Christ with those around us. And then last, as we know, Jesus is revealed. As he breaks bread and gives thanks for it, they suddenly recognize him. This is my favorite painting about the walk to Emmaus. This is by Rembrandt, who's famous for his use of light and dark. You can see the look of recognition on the face of the one seated, who is probably Cleopas. His wife is in the background working on dinner. Many scholars believe that these two people, Cleopas and the one who is not named, were in fact husband and wife. It isn't mentioned in the text, but it is certainly a realistic expectation of what it might mean. And as they sit down to share the evening meal, Jesus takes bread, blesses it, and gives it to them to eat. And in that instance, there is the shock of recognition. And obviously, this refers to the Christian sacrament of the Lord's Supper. But the Lord's Supper itself refers to our fellowship together in the living Christ as we break bread together all the time and in every place, even around the breakfast table as families, or the dinner table as husband and wife, or with friends. Interesting, isn't it? Here are two people, plus Jesus, breaking bread in fellowship with each other, and Jesus is recognized in their midst, as Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Now, it is true we do experience the risen Christ individually. It's true, we do. But even more, according to Jesus, we experience his risen truth, his power, and his presence. We see him and we recognize him as we gather in his name with other believers in bread-breaking fellowship. All of these together are how we recognize Christ at work and present in our lives today, through making ourselves available to him because he knows us, by letting him walk with us in daily life consciously, through opening the scriptures and letting him teach us about himself through them, by blessing the world around us, and by breaking bread in communion with him and with each other. When all of these are present, Christ, who was already present, is actually recognized as alive today. Of course he's always there. Of course he's always present. Of course he is let loose in the world by the Holy Spirit. It's just that oftentimes even we who believe don't see. And then over time, and sometimes in an instant, we know. We just know not only that he's present, but that he lives. Here's an example of recognizing Jesus from a book by Philip Yancey. I just want to read this quote. "On a trip to South Africa, I met a remarkable young woman named Joanna. As a student, she agitated for change in apartheid and then saw the miracle that no one had predicted, the peaceful dismantling of that evil system. And afterward, for many hours, she would sit with her husband and watch live broadcasts of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission hearings. Instead of simply exulting in her newfound freedoms, Joanna next decided to tackle the most violent prison in South Africa, a prison where Nelson Mandela had spent several years. Tattoo-covered gang members controlled the prison, strictly enforcing a rule that required new members to earn their admittance to the gang by assaulting undesirable prisoners. Prison authorities looked the other way, letting them beat and even kill each other. Alone, yet not alone, because of Christ. Alone, this unattractive young woman started going each day into the bowels of that prison. She brought a simple message of forgiveness and reconciliation, trying to put into practice on a smaller scale what Mandela was trying to effect in the nation as a whole. She organized small groups, taught trust games, and got the prisoners to open up about the details of their horrific childhoods. The year before she began her visits, listen to this, the year before she began her visits. The prison recorded 279 acts of violence. The year after her visits started, there were two. I met Joanna and her husband, who has since joined her in the prison work at a restaurant on the waterfront in Cape Town. I pressed her for specifics on what had happened to transform that prison. Her fork stopped on the way to her mouth. She looked up and said, almost without thinking, "Well, of course, Philip, Jesus was already present at the prison. I just had to make him visible." As Joanna went, as she engaged in conversation and questions, as she practiced hospitality, as she broke bread with these prisoners, Jesus was recognized not only by her, but then by the others. And because of the resurrection, Jesus brings the presence of the Father by the Holy Spirit into every life, into every place. We are surrounded. The world is drenched with the presence of the risen one. Together as believers, we recognize him all the time, and through us, through you, he makes himself known to the world today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, will you pray with me? O Lord Jesus, we bow in your presence. We know you are here. You are here with us right now. Move amongst us. Give us eyes to see. Open the eyes of our hearts. Through your name we pray. Amen.